Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, that's the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love the Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's a day for the driver.
Now watch this drive. Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
Greg Council joining us.
All right, that was fun.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Missed your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See,
you were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me, Lawrence.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cut.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything about. I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship,
yeah.
I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy shit. Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound. And then you guys come on and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good. Football's like that, too. You can't be good by yourself.
What I mean, goosebumps. Hell? Let's kick off this show with a bang.
I mean, let's go.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you until 6. Cubs end up dropping the series to the Giants. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about that as soon as possible. Alex Kuhn just finished running the Cubs game and Cubs post. He has got a sweaty brow as he's trying to make sure that we can get on Twitch and everything else. We appreciate him. Tanny is back from vacation. And that man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. It's nice to have Tanny back. Even when he's not here, he gets comments like yesterday. Nancy Faust was thrilled with her intro. Carter Hawkins commenting on his intro. Tanny's here even when he's not here.
Yeah. How about Carter yesterday? He had a hot 10 for us. So he was ready to go. He's making callbacks and stuff. Like, it was great.
Hey, man, Carter was really interesting yesterday. Whole bunch of stuff that's percolating around the Cubosphere and really around MLB circles. I heard from some people commenting on his comments about the front office survey that The Athletic had. It's like, it's pretty rare you get a front office person being self-aware and willing to discuss how they are viewed around the league. Thought that was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, me too. It's funny. I was in here and I used your trick today. I was watching the game and the TVs in the studio have a bit of a delay from our live that's over the air. So I was watching the game and listening to it on the At Bat app.
Isn't that a fun thing? This is my new thing, man, because you get to experience a play twice. If you want to see it, you can, or you can just trust Pat and Ron.
I got it right. I had it so that Pat was a half a second behind what I was seeing on TV, and it worked out perfectly for me. So whether I was sitting in what we like to call Molly Cruz's waiting room outside of her office, and then I think in the fifth I came into the studio and did it. It was a wonderful way to watch the game and it be on time and not me having to worry about seeing a play 10 seconds before Pat says something about it. It was great.
I get you. So there's many different ways to game the system. I like to do it where the radio is ahead, so then I have the option then to watch the play 4 seconds later as it happens on the TV. But, you know, how you sync up Pat and Ron, it is a very individual experience.
The fact that you can do it, I just think is great. It was also Agreed. Great last night to have Boog back. Like that, you know, like that was joyous to be able to hear Boog back on the call and enjoying all of that stuff. So it's been an interesting couple of days around the Cubs overall.
Yeah, it has. They've lost now 2 in a row for I believe it's the 4th time this year. The first time was Tokyo, and that felt bad. The second time was when they lost the finale of a Rangers series here and then lost to the Dodgers, but that was a Friday night, and then they came back and won 16-0 in L.A., so it barely registered. Last Sunday night, they lost their 2nd in a row to the Phillies to end that series, and Monday felt kind of bleak. But this two-game loss in a row, as far as roller coasters go, this is probably as down a moment as you've had on the Cubs roller coaster since Tokyo. I think this is as down as it's been since Tokyo.
I think that's fair. I also thought that, and I said it at the time, like after Tokyo, people were flipping out, and I'm like, dude, come on. And so yeah, if you go like the highest high was the Sunday night game in L.A. and then you get back on the roller coaster, and it's because of how yesterday went. And and it was right there for like all of the good feeling and the good vibes about the Cubs came to fruition, babe. You're sitting there, you're going, look at this. Like they're taking control of this game. Wrigley is bouncing off the walls.
Dude, 9th inning coming back on Riley Walker. And then the fascinating Bob Melvin decision. I loved his decision to go to the lefty. I thought it was ballsy. Save stat be damned. Closer respect be damned. He thought lefty on lefty for Tucker was a better matchup. It was just interesting. And then and Tucker goes first pitch, ground ball up the middle to tie the game. And then how sure were you that they were going to win that thing in the 10th? It felt like it.
Everything was like that's
it's all right there.
That's a good reminder for the idea of like momentum, like what feels like momentum. Because you're like, oh, the Cubs have all the momentum. They've got all of it. This is going to be easy. They're going to win this game in extras, and that's going to be that. And then it didn't happen, and it felt bad. And to me, I was looking at today's game, and I'm sitting there going, that 6th inning where the bases get jammed and they're able to get out of it, like that felt like a moment where you go, all right, if they're going to turn this game around and try and win this series, maybe this is an inflection point going the opposite way of it, and they could end up winning the game and winning the series. It didn't turn out that way.
But that there was another moment too, Lawrence. I thought when Pete Crow Armstrong made the throw to get the runner at home, and that gets overturned. That's another one to your point. We're like, oh, look at that. It's 3-0, not 4-0. That is a big, big deal.
Significant.
Yeah, and the fact that Brown like gutted his way through five when he's been one up, one down, start good, start down. So yeah, there were points that you thought it could maybe turn. I gotta say, man, this is a down moment on the roller coaster, but it's really not that bad. I know it might feel bad. I know you're down your top two starters, and that's scary. Your closer is a problem.
Yeah, we're going to spend some real time talking about Ryan Pressly coming up at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm glad we will. And it's no coincidence that Porter Hodge is unavailable in most fantasy baseball leagues. Let's just say that. It's no coincidence.
Well, to go back, like beyond Pressly, the other thing that bothers me, but the other thing that I find interesting about last night is it's the worst type of way to lose a game just because of how many bodies you had to put on the mound. Was it 8 pitchers that the Cubs pitch? If you win that game and you've already won the series, then in today's game, in a getaway day game, and I think that Council did push Brown maybe a little bit farther than some people would have expected with him going, 104?
Yeah, pitch count high for his career. Yeah, no, I hear you. So you used all those dudes last night.
And you lost.
Yeah,
and you lost by blowout.
Yeah, you did. I hear you. And then you come back and you got to use another big pile of dudes today. Julian Merriweather gets in trouble and I got my concerns about him. He survives and gets out of it in the inning one of the innings you were talking about, Hollowell used as well. But you got the off day tomorrow. You know, you got the off day tomorrow, so you can regroup on some of that stuff. I hear you, though, with the nature of that game, for sure. I just think that overall, it feels bad, and there's some scary stuff, but you got an off day, and I believe Cade Horton is going to be pitching in New York on Saturday.
Okay, so because of the way the game went today and the choices that were made from the bullpen today, did that lead you to believe that when we saw Flexen out there that we're going to see Cade Horton? Or was it the conversation with Carter yesterday that made you believe that?
It's been all of it. The way that Jed talked about it the other day in the dugout said, you know, we're just making sure that he doesn't waste pitches, but we'll talk about it. And Council has said consistently, we're going to have that conversation. And we grilled Carter Hawkins and he wouldn't break the news yesterday. And he said, we're going to have that conversation.
And he's matched up with the day of Shota.
Yes. And then two more data points. 100% when you saw Flexen. You saw Flexen last night and tonight. Right, and today, right? So now you've seen Flexen twice in a row. So he's no longer a stretch out option. They can still bullpen a game Saturday if that's what they want to do after the off day. And maybe that'll be the decision. But the other thing is that looking down at the minors today, I looked at the Iowa schedule today. Jordan Wicks went 5 innings today. Pitched pretty well. Five shutout innings for Jordan Wicks. And then Keegan Thompson, who Carter Hawkins mentioned yesterday, he went 2+ in relief today. So both of those guys went today. The only Iowa option now is Cade Horton. So Saturday is either a bullpen game or it's Cade Horton time. And even today, after the game today, Craig Council, when asked about it, said that it still needs to be a discussion. So they still have not discussed it. Here's Council after the game today.
Starter for Saturday?
No.
Does flexing pitching today take him out of the mix?
No.
Will you make that decision tomorrow?
We're going to huddle up after the game here and talk about it, yes.
So they're huddling now, Lawrence, and as you and I talked about the other day, that's a conversation that, man, you and I'd love to be in that conversation. Well, it'd be fascinating to see how that goes.
Well, I guess it going by what Craig said, if you think about it, Flexen might not be out because he could be the opener. Like, let's not call him the starter if he pitches Saturday because of how many pitches he's thrown in the last 2 days. But he could be the opener and say, all right, Chris, give us 3 innings. Can you give us 3? And then we'll figure out the rest from here. I wanted to ask
it could
you.
It could absolutely, just to capitalize on your point, could absolutely be Flexen for an inning or two, Drew Pomerantz for an inning or two, Brad Keller for an inning or two, any of those guys, potentially 3, and then all of a sudden you're into your late inning stuff. So they could choose to do that if they think Horton's not ready. I just think that it's Horton time.
After we finished the show, I was driving home and I was thinking about this because we had discussed the Cade Horton thing. And I had in my mental Rolodex, I wanted to ask you, what is the drawback, if there is any drawback, to starting Cade Horton? Because I don't know if I have one other than the psyche of the pitcher, which is super important. But considering what the Cubs think they are this year, what drawback is there to bringing up Cade Horton to make a start?
It's a great question. I think you hit on it. I mean, I think the main thing is like, if he gets overwhelmed by Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, and Francisco Lindor off the bat in New York, are you damaging the dude? It's sort of like the quarterback conversation we've had a million times. Justin Fields in Cleveland against Miles Garrett and
getting sacked nine times.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, but it is Cade Horton ready for that kind of challenge, and is he damageable? You know, if that is a word, and it probably isn't. So I think that's the main thing. You want him to hit the ground running with supreme confidence and as equipped as he possibly can. But this is a dude who played big time college sports. This is a legit, you know, big time athlete in multiple sports in high school. You know, this is a guy who I do not believe is going to shrink from those kind of moments, but we've seen it before. I remember seeing Keegan Thompson, you know, rattled and sweaty. I remember seeing Caleb Killian rattled and sweaty in games that were disasters. So you hope this guy isn't susceptible to that. But I think that's the main thing. I don't know that I can think of another, but is that you want him to hit the ground running with full confidence.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I can see as a reason not to do it. But it seems like the way that things are lined up, it seems like the best move to make. I guess the secondary thing would be who goes, like who leaves, and
it could just be the reliever Hollowell. Could just be somebody like that with an option, so you don't have to feel it like it's one of your big time guys or your bulk guys.
So
you know?
So to me, it's the cleanest plan for them to have him do it, and the hope is that he's fine, and he gives you what you need. He doesn't have to go out there and be Paul Skeens. You know, you don't need him to say, all right, I'm going to go give you 6 2/3 and strike out 11. You don't need any of that. You just need to, can you keep us in this game and let our offense do what it does, and maybe there won't be any crazy weather. Like this, one of the things about this series, there are two things about this series, Speaks, that I found fascinating. The way the wind turned around today, and the amount of foul tips that umpires got in this series.
As it got colder and more painful to just be near hard contact.
It was a bad series for home plate umpires. Like, they were just getting absolutely pelted behind the plate. And for no reason, just, you know, nobody's mistake. Foul balls just happened to find them in a way that you don't ordinarily see in a three-game series. But watching the wind play with the ball today
was
fascinating.
Adames hit a ball that's probably a Waveland shot that didn't even make it into the left field corner, as Coom called it exactly that. And then I turned and watched the TV and saw it. I'm like, oh my God, it wasn't Glenn Allen Hill to the top of the building across the street, but it was like a Waveland shot that didn't even get there. And how about our guy, Nico?
Yes.
Destroyed a ball. That
yes.
was neat. Nico was robbed of his first home run of the year by that demon wind.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, oh, there it is. And they're like, nope, it's going to die. And then that play with Ramos and left.
Oh, dude. That's on Adames. Adames was just standing on the dirt, not helping out, not going out there, not doing anything.
Yeah, you could see Ramos being like, oh, my God, I am covering a lot of ground. I am covering a lot of ground here, and I still don't know where the ball is.
No, yeah, and he barely moved for a while. Then he's like, really? Really? I still got to do this? Yeah, man, Wrigley is chaotic. But, like, I know I pointed out that it's the lowest spot probably since Tokyo on the coaster, but it's still they're going to make some moves. They're going to be aggressive in terms of trading as soon as like business is really open around the league. And hell, they might jump that, you know, for some of their needs. And we can look around at some closer options and some things like that. But they're also, I just got a feeling it's Cade Horton Saturday, Lawrence. I could be wrong, but look at the aggression with which they're making all sorts of moves. Like they're trying. They're making changes with aggression because the moment is now and because they're good. And that's the way you want a team to act.
We're in the middle of a baseball season and things happen at the end of games. Closers do blow save opportunities and sometimes they blow win opportunities. We are going to talk about Ryan Pressly and talk about what happened last night. We're going to try to bring context to it, let you hear what was said, and give you our thoughts on the Cubs and the back end of their bullpen. What should they do? We'll talk about it next here on The Score.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Swing and a miss, strike three, and the inning is over. The Giants score 9 and break the game wide open as we go to the bottom of the 11th inning. Giants 14, Cubs 5.
Thought I executed my pitches really well. Wasn't really leaving anything over middle part of the plate. I just didn't get my job done. I was the only one tonight that didn't do my job.
Ryan Pressly talking about the disaster that was extra innings for the Cubs last night, giving up 8 earned runs and that turning into an absolute blowout of a game. It's weird to see that score and 11 innings like that. That's if you're digesting it, like if you're a Cubs fan who had to get up early. So the game's going to go into extras. The Cubs will win by a run or they'll lose by a run. And then you woke up this morning, you're like, wait, what? How does something like that even happen? It happened because the Giants played pepper with Ryan Pressly yesterday.
he couldn't get anybody out. He didn't get anybody out. And he left when you left after eight were on the books, I believe, or maybe seven were on the books. And Caleb Fielbar came in and gave up a couple more. To your point, Lawrence, that is the worst extra inning loss since 1983 in the history of Major League Baseball. And I mean, and it's one of the worst extra inning losses of all time. Presley couldn't get anybody out. He couldn't make anybody swing and miss. And the problem is that was his issue last year, that his stuff was clearly in decay last year. And we covered it a lot. Like, he lost the closer job to Josh Hader in Houston.
It's partly why he was available.
Oh, big time. But it was ugly. It turned real ugly in Houston. And the Houston GM, Dana Brown, didn't want to give in and trade him. And then Presley didn't want to be traded. But the whole thing that happened last year is that he thought he still should have been the closer because he's got the stones to throw strikes. Like, that's what some closers have to do, even after the stuff is in decay, is still believe in yourself, throw strikes, get ground balls, spin it real well, hit your spots, and you can still kind of be that guy as long as you truly believe in yourself. And he believed that he still had that kind of thing in him.
Yeah, you know? He did, and he felt like the injuries played a big role in why he was ineffective at times last year. And Dan and I actually talked to him about it. Here's what he said about 2024.
Honestly, I think last year I was battling a lot of mechanical stuff, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I wasn't really myself. You know, my velo was down. You know, just things weren't really going my way. And it felt like an upstream battle last year whenever I took the mound. And, you know, I was really just kind of just throwing everything at the wall and just, you know, hoping something would stick. And, you know, whether it be fastball usage going up, slider usage going down, changeup usage going up, you know, I was literally just trying to do anything and everything to put up a zero. And, you know, and when you're battling stuff mechanically, it's even harder.
So, is that fixed?
Yeah, you know, so I've been working with Kevin Poppy all offseason. I feel like we've cleaned up about 99% of it. So I'm excited to get down to camp, throw to some hitters, and really see where we're at.
So Ryan Presley believed he could be fixed. And did the Cubs believe he could be fixed? Sure seems like it, because they fought and fought and fought to get him here. The problem is he's not fixed. He's still that guy that he was for the most part last year. Velocity up just a tick. But you know Eno Saris, right? You know Eno's work. Eno over the Athletic does really good work. He's a numbers wonk and an analytics wonk, and a beer wonk as well. Absolutely, but he talks to players. He's like really good about taking the numbers and the data, and you know, working with it based on the human beings as well. But he invented a thing called Stuff Plus, which measures just purely the quality of stuff. And for a closer and relievers, Stuff Plus matters, man. It's like, how dominating are you? This is the state of the game. Like, can you come in and just make people freak out and miss bats and get strikeouts? And he did a thing where he wrote about the worst Stuff Plus in MLB for any closer that has three or more saves, right? He just wrote this the other day. And Ryan Presley's number two on the list. There's Luke Jackson in Texas who's never been a proven closer, and he's blown a couple. Ryan Presley is number two. Tommy Kahnle, who's not a traditional closer. Carlos Estevez, who was on the market in the offseason. And Luke Weaver in New York, who's only gotten the job back because Devin Williams has an ERA over 10 right now. Like, Ryan Presley, based on the analytics and the way you measure spin rate and ride of the fastball and all that, is an absolute disaster among closers, and it seemed to be the case last night.
Okay, but if we go by effectiveness, if we take the analytics out of it, 10 straight appearances without giving up an earned run.
Yep.
He's not getting swing and miss. He's not striking people out. But he was getting people out. So I'm not sure what to do with this. Like, ordinarily, my my default setting on stuff like this is bleep happens inside of a baseball season. I also wonder too, and I went back and watched it a little bit this afternoon before the game started, and I'm wondering if that was an issue of we got you. Like, you're tipping, and we're on top of it.
I saw a couple people write about that or reference that, but I didn't see it. What did you see or what did you read? That, because I just saw it referenced, but I didn't see details.
Well, it just seemed like, and it wasn't like it was Yakutau time. Like, guys, they weren't taking him out to the street.
Did you hear any trash cans? Did you hear any bangs?
I didn't hear any trash cans. I did not check anyone if they had themselves hooked up to a beeper or anything either. But
he got an unfinished tattoo on his collarbone right here that honestly looked terrible. It was a bad tattoo. Yeah.
That's right, Carlos.
Yeah, happy birthday to Jose Altuve. I think it was yesterday on the 6th of May.
Happy birthday, Mike.
I think Eno is right, obviously, because he's been doing this for a long time. I just look at the game logs and go, he hasn't been bad. He's been good, and then you see something like that, you go, that just raises the antenna of were you doing something last night that you hadn't been doing, and they were ready for it?
I don't know. I mean, like, look, here's the thing about Stuff Plus. It's not always the number one indicator. I had Eno on Hit and Run a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how he's worried about Ryan Pressly. And one of the guys he brought up that the Cubs do have in that bullpen that they could use is Nate Pearson. Because Nate Pearson has great Stuff Plus. He just can't throw strikes to save his life and is afraid to challenge guys. Like, you talk to players, and the thing about Pressly, it's been repeated before of, like, some of these dudes, you know, you gotta have the stones to go after people and how to execute pitch after pitch after pitch. So it does matter.
I would love to, I guess maybe that would be my assignment for tonight. Like, the sequencing, like, I'd love to see how he was starting guys off and if they changed the sequencing, because it looked like to me, and untrained eye, it looked like to me that guys were like, we can sit on the off-speed stuff because we can cover his fastball because it isn't overpowering. And I don't know if that's just going to be a strategy against him going forward because the velo isn't overpowering, but that's what it seemed like.
I get you. Yeah, I mean, as you know, it's like if the discrepancy is not there between the off-speed and the heater, then they can absolutely do what you're saying, sit off speed and adjust to the fastball. And they know that he's going to lead with that curve and try to spot it, and big league hitters can pounce on it. Yeah, the results have not been awful. Last night was an embarrassment. And looking around the league, you need at least a couple guys in your pen, whether they are the closer or not. You need at least two, ideally three. Even better, give me four. Four dudes who can just blow you away and make your bat miss. That's what the Padres have. It's what Cleveland had last year. It's obviously what the Dodgers have when everything's healthy. And so you might need to add a couple of dudes. Because how many guys do they have in that Cubs bullpen? How many guys with, like, true swing and miss, dominant, closer-ish kind of stuff? I think the answer is one. I think Porter Hodge, because of the quality of his stuff, is a guy that has that kind of, like, if you just plucked him out and looked at his Stuff Plus numbers, he's that guy. I don't know that they have a second one, really, which is a crazy thing.
To think about for a team that's competing to not have one of those guys at the back end of a bullpen is a little weird.
Or at least two or three of them that Craig can use whenever he wants to as out-getters. Here's an example. Go back to the Padres. Jeremiah Estrada has that kind of stuff. Jason Adam has that kind of stuff. And, of course, their closer, Robert Suarez, has that kind of stuff. There's a sneaky name because Suarez is in what is basically his free agent year. He's got an option that nobody expects him to pick up. He was apparently on the trade block in the offseason. And A.J. Preller's a madman. He could trade Robert Suarez and just slot Adam or Estrada into the closer role. That's one of the names you dream of. Kenley Jansen is closing in Anaheim. Wayne Randazzo, our buddy, Lawrence, last Friday said, I'd be looking at Kenley. If I were the Cubs, I'd be looking at Kenley Jansen. Then Kenley went out that night, and I think he gave up four or five. Of course, because that's how it works.
But that's how it works for
sometimes.
You know what I mean? Like why I'm not freaking out, but I am next to the fire alarm.
Yeah.
But I haven't pulled it. Like I understand that I should probably go a little bit closer to it, but I'm not gonna pull it yet just because baseball is like this.
Will you be shocked if Porter Hodge gets a save chance on Friday or Saturday or Sunday if he and Ryan Pressly are both available?
I will not be shocked by that.
Neither will I.
And so let's go back to the clubhouse for a second. Let's hear what Craig Counsell had to say about Ryan Pressly and what happened last night.
He couldn't finish hitters, essentially. I mean, that was it. And it snowballed a little bit. And, you know, we got to a point of just trying to get through the inning, and we just didn't play. The last 10 or so outings have been, I think he's given up one run in the last 10 outings. So it's been pretty good. The swing and miss we're struggling with, and that's the finish in the hitter. But he's been making pitches for sure. Just not tonight.
Man, it's interesting because the swing and miss we're struggling with, and that's what we're talking about. But he is making pitches. That's a crystallization of the conversation we just had, Lawrence. That, you know, like they feel good about how, you know, the pitches that he's executing. It's just that he can't put people away with swing and miss. Our Bruce Levine tells us that Tommy Hotovy commented on Ryan Pressly today, said Pressly came in at 8 in the morning to work on his mechanics with Hotovy. So, like, I hope that the Cubs can still fix this, and it does happen. But this is a guy who thought, who did he say, Kevin Poppy was the name, and I had not heard that name. That's the name that he told you and Dan he'd been working on with in the offseason and had it fixed. It doesn't seem quite fixed.
I'm going through the pitch by pitch now on all of the guys that got hits off of him, and it's about even. Guys hit the off-speed stuff, and guys sat on the fastball. So now I'm even wondering if it was just he didn't have it last night versus him tipping, because I've looked at six while we were discussing this, and it's three fastballs and three off-speed pitches. So maybe it wasn't even tipping. Maybe it was just like, here's some meat. This guy is up here throwing meat, and we're just going to destroy it.
Man, looked like a beautiful day to be at the ballpark.
Oh my! Yesterday was ideal, like all the way around. Just walking around in the city yesterday, it was a perfect night. JD had mentioned it at the beginning of the game, where it was almost like he realized, he's like, man, it is really nice out here today. And then today looked like it was perfect, and it was not. It didn't look like it was very fun at all to play in today's game.
Well, the wind was brutal, and Coom kept referencing how it was getting colder, and then I went out of the house, and I was like, damn, it's beautiful here. This town is schizophrenic. It is weather schizophrenic. It always has been. It continues to be so from day to day, from hour to hour, and from section to section. In the South Loop, it was lovely this afternoon while they were complaining about it getting colder over at their place.
So I had to go drop off my car, and so I got jumped on the blue line to get back here.
I thought you said you got jumped on the blue line.
No. It was very laid back. Right. And thank you. I appreciate the worry.
Yeah, I mean, that's your gig is to worry.
No, but the fact that you worry about me, that's nice.
I care, man.
It's nice. So I had a vest with me.
Yeah, hold on. You sounded a little too shocked that I actually care. Tanny, did you catch that, Lawrence? Like, it was a little surprised.
Look, just my first day back. I'm not trying to really sway anyone one way or the other.
No, we need your help, man. It's like, this has been, I think things have been good. I think, you know, trust has been nice. Like, the vibes have been solid. And now Lawrence is shocked that I give a crap.
Well,
go ahead, man.
I was appreciative. I wasn't shocked. I was appreciative.
All right. Maybe so, that's me. Maybe I'm projecting a little bit.
So I had the vest with me. And as I was leaving the dealership, I was like, oh, I should just throw this in my bag. Like, it's too... I went all Dustino on it.
Yeah, you did.
And
yeah,
I'm like, it's too warm for me to wear it. By the time
Were you surprised Lauren stitched the vest today?
Wait, Tanny, you need four more questions to make that one question. I'm sorry. That's how it works.
Two more. And
should the weather have been better or worse for Lawrence? Are you surprised that it wasn't better or worse?
What will the weather be later? What say ye?
And then hand it over to Molly and Hawk. But by the time I got off the blue line, and it was only four stops, by the time I got off the blue line, I had to pull the vest out.
Oh, man.
That's how quickly it changed.
It changed just like that. It became vest 30 where you were going. I got to say, every time the word vest comes up, including sometime closer Will Vest of the Detroit Tigers, I think of Mr. Burns on The Simpsons with see my vest of course, made of real gorilla chest.
Anyone of certain age should think that. And also, you have a vested interest in this topic.
I do. But that is like, that's one of the all-time comedic Simpsons moments, the song and the bit about the vest and my sweaters, right? See my loafers, former gophers. It was that or skin my chauffeurs. I mean, like, just some of the all-time stuff. And anytime the word vest comes up as a garment or a closer, that's where I go.
Well, when you're at Cinderella's castle in Disney World and they're playing that song in the background for the entire duration of your visit there, what song do you think I'm thinking of that whole time? Of course, it's Mr. Burns.
How many times have you been to Disney?
I've been the same amount of times as my child has, which is great for her. It's great for me, too, to be honest. We've been three times.
That's a lot of times.
It is a lot of times, yeah. What if I said it was twice since December? Is that a lot of times?
That's a lot of times.
Yeah, so, hey,
it's great for her.
It's awesome for her. It's great.
And that's who it's for.
It's not always for her, to be honest. Epcot, drinking and eating around Epcot, it's not bad.
Are you guys officially a Disney family?
I would say so.
Is that a thing? Like, do you get like a? Is it like being a Packers owner? You get a.
We can make a plaque or something.
You get a.
Been there three times. He's part of the Three Timers Club.
You get a robe for that.
Man, it's. Yeah, Tanny, I did you see a lot of Disney adults? What was the percentage of Disney adults?
Oh, we don't look at those people. As you know, we don't king shame, as you all know on this show.
I know.
I'm not a yum yucker. But usually when you see adults and no kids around at Disney, just keep it moving. I'm glad you guys are having fun. I got my own things to worry about here. Have fun. God bless. You know,
we did
run into one on our last night there, and I'm sorry, we're gonna go off topic here, but you did ask the question.
We're
in line for one of the Star Wars rides during our last night there. We doubled back to one of the parks to hit it before we left, and then there's a Disney adult there with a lightsaber talking about how she had been on the ride multiple times that day and how it was broken down earlier in the evening. Yep. So we came at the right time. Yeah,
just back away slowly.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, yeah.
Find another access point to wherever you're attempting to go.
It does seem like over the last decade that Disney itself has been like, no, hey, adults, come on down here on your own.
Yeah, you don't have to. Guess what? We're the ones with the money.
Correct.
it's very temporary. We part with it rather quickly once we're down there.
But you know, it's clearly a market inefficiency that they've figured out a way to exploit.
Yeah, they have. And it's good. I'm really happy that you at least you had a good time, right?
Yeah, always. It's awesome. Like I said, I'd never been until, you know, I didn't go as a kid. So this is my second childhood, 100%.
Okay, so wait. I want to drill down on that a little bit. Were you a Great America guy when you were a kid?
I'm always a Great America guy. No. You mean the theme park?
Oh,
no,
yes.
No, not particularly. Yeah.
Again, he moves the words around, but he's a big
But he still has that cap.
Yeah. I think it's red. I haven't seen it.
Whoa.
He's long time Mr. Six guy over there in Great America.
It's got Mickey Mouse ears on it. That's a cap I'm surprised I haven't seen.
Hey, you're right.
Due time, baby. Dude, just one more term.
Patent pending, patent pending.
So, Spiegs, are you an amusement park guy?
You know, I haven't been historically, but me and the Roobster went to Universal out west, and we had a blast. And it was, I was living my youth just watching him live his youth and dig it for sure.
I absolutely love that my buddy Marcus Leshock has turned this into a thing.
He really has. Oh. He's a roller coaster adult. He's an aficionado.
He's a roller coaster expert.
Influencer. Yeah,
yeah. Yes.
Like, if you got a coaster that's opening up, you better be inviting Marcus over there.
You better believe it.
Yeah, we need to talk to him because I don't know how to refer sometimes to the baseball season roller coaster. Like, is it a high point of the coaster or a low point of the coaster when the emotions are dipping? Are you at a high point about to go over the edge? Does that mean it's a good moment or a scary moment? You know what I'm saying?
It's funny that you say that, Spies, because when you said it earlier, I made a hand gesture of not going down, but when you are on a coaster that twists, that's kind of where I think that where you're closer to ground level,
sure,
and it twists into like a cave or whatever.
Right.
That's so, in my mind, that's where I was thinking that the Cubs were.
Yeah. So we need an executive decision from our executives. But you know, Ryan Porth and Mitch are not here because it's after 4 o'clock.
I can text Marcus and ask him if he wants to come on the show.
Well, here's my question. Do we want to have the semantics conversation about the roller coaster metaphor on the air?
The heck of a roller coaster ride this year.
Or off the air? Well, like, is that content that interests anyone, or is that just something that we should drill down over a beer with Marcus?
Well, we're not going to get the chance to have a beer with Marcus because he gets up at like 1 a.m. But he'll talk Cubs with us. He does sports occasionally too.
Yeah, but I want a solid 15 to 18 minutes on the semantics of roller coaster metaphors. And so maybe that's just my own private time. Perhaps we'll see.
Hit him up. Hit him up and see if he just wants to talk to you about, and he probably does, about roller coasters.
Unlikely, Lawrence. You know how it goes as we get older. People, you know, your circles narrow just a little bit. Do circles do that? I think they do.
Yeah, you can. We could ask Marcus about that, whether or not the roller coaster circles, they narrow. When we come back, the Cubs were the only thing that saved the White Sox last night. We'll explain next on The Score.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible.
If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It's LeVar Ball.
What's good? Triple B, big baller style. You guys go do your thing. I love your style.
Afternoons on the Score.
Popped up. Mydroff settling underneath. And it goes off of his glove. The throw to second is overthrown. Oh, boy, what is going on here in Kansas City?
Who are the Chicago White Sox? Oh, no.
It's the truth. Highlight courtesy of CHSN. Things got really weird for the White Sox at the end of that game. So Spiegs, last night, I'm sitting there going back and forth between what was happening with the Cubs. I had to make an executive decision. I was sitting there like, oh, look at this. The White Sox are winning. I'm like, all right, I'm going to think about pulling the Holmes maneuver, but oh, I'm going to go watch the Cubs, and I'm going to watch a little bit of basketball.
Yeah, it's a great sports night. For anybody who doesn't know, by the way, the Holmes maneuver is when the White Sox are winning and Lawrence Holmes bets against them. And it proved extremely beneficial, fortuitous, and financially lovely for you last year.
Well, it's a little bit more specific than that. You pull the maneuver after the sixth inning if the White Sox are up three runs or more. And it was tighter than that. But a lot of people have decided that that's because I want everyone to get as much juice as they can on betting the other team. So usually,
let me apologize for my lack of listening to the Bernstein and Holmes show.
It's all right. I get it. I mean, a lot of people did though. Anyway, so I was thinking about like whether or not people were going to pull the maneuver last night. But then I just said, look, there's really good basketball on, and this Cubs thing is getting interesting. I get a text message from Leisure, and he's like, are you watching this? And I thought he was talking about the Cubs game. No, we have found the diehard of diehards with the White Sox. Yeah. Wow. Leisure was watching the White Sox game, and he was basically like, watch, they're going to mess this up. So I said, all right, I will join my friend and I will live in the misery with him. And I flipped over to the White Sox game before the festivities got bizarre.
Oh, no way. So you saw all the stuff? Because there was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of different things. This was the lowest moment of the 2025 White Sox. It was the moment that felt most like the 2024 White Sox last night.
Yeah, and you're excited because Chase Mydroff is called up and he seems like he knows what he's doing. And then there was a pop-up on the infield.
Popped up.
Oh, and hit his head. And Canna is going to be safe at second base. The White Sox have played great defense all night. And that was a routine big league pop-up, wasn't it?
It sure was, and he struggled. Look at, you could tell he was struggling with it. Now, the wind is not blowing like it did earlier. Look at him. Look at Mydroff. He just totally whiffed it, and Taylor's throw was over. They had a force play. Watch him see with his, oh, man, off the glove and off the dome. He's saying, oh, man, what happened? It's a moment that he'll never forget. And that'll be on the blooper everywhere. Now I'll take advantage of it.
Oh, my God, I love Rex Hudler, but that's so painful if you're a White Sox fan. They are just cackling at you. I'm glad he talked. Michael Taylor, that throw was what, 70 feet away? 75 feet away?
Yep.
To get the force out, but he couldn't do that?
And nope.
And to your point,
he rushed it. Yeah, like he had time, and I get it. Like that play throws everyone's timing off because you're expecting him to catch the ball. But then after that, he had time to make a much better throw and did not.
Mydroth and Caro are like two of the new guys. You're like, man, these are actual ball players. This is cool. I like this. And then Mydroth, he got White Sox last night. That was a damn shame. The play after that, by the way, the bunt that nobody decided to field, like when everybody in the ballpark knew the bunt was coming. Like what the hell?
Yeah,
man?
that was not a good moment for Will and his coaching staff to not have them ready for that. There's another moment too that I wanted to run by the crew here. And maybe I just had this because I'm already kind of in a state of anger when it comes to White Sox bad play. The game was over, right? Bobby Witt Jr. walked up. You knew that the game was going to be over, that he was going to do something.
Because all he needed was
a fly ball.
Was a deep drive. And we have the call of that from Royals TV to set up what you're talking about, Lawrence. I know where you're going to go. But this is the call from Royals TV of Bobby Witt Jr.'s walk-off, which could have been a sack fly, but was not.
Bobby Witt Jr. with a chance to win it. Bases loaded, one out.
Yeah, sure enough, he wants a pop-up out of Jr., but Bobby wants to drive one through. Hit one to left field.
In the air, center field. And it will drop. So it'll be a long walk-off RBI single for Bobby Witt Jr. And the Chicago White Sox, who played great defense for 8 innings, fall apart.
They completely fell apart, and that ball drops, and Robert just kind of runs into the wall and rests his face in the center field wall.
It wasn't an easy play to make, considering where you were playing. But should Luis have caught that ball? Because it felt like he gave up on it, because obviously if you catch it, it's going to be a sack fly, and the run scores. But there was a part of me that was like, you should still catch that ball. Like, you should catch that ball for your teammate, number one, because they're giving up the run, but they're not giving up a hit in that situation. And the other thing was, at least for me, something could happen. Like, you have to give yourself a chance to try and get that person out. If you do catch the ball, what if the guy slips? What if he injures himself? The White Sox saw that happen to them.
Yes, like you fall down between third and home, and then you're crawling with your torn hamstring to try and get to home plate, and you can't. Of course, you make that catch. You make that catch, and you whirl and throw it. It is what it is. Like, and he was in position to do so, and something in his mind just decided to not give a crap and just kind of let it drop. Maybe the dude falls down and you get one of the other base runners in celebration mode. You catch him off a base, and all of a sudden you're getting two outs. It's like, of course you do it. But Luis has, you know, it's a bad moment for everybody. And you saw and you felt that whole thing fall apart. But Luis has been allowed to be that guy for a lot of years. He was enabled and paid and never really punished in full like a lot of managers would have punished him. He has, and neither was Eloy, and neither was Johan. And now, even if Will Venable tries, it might be that too much damage has been done to Luis at this point.
And maybe there's an argument neither was Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah. Seriously, if what we heard about Andrew Vaughn's offseason plan was happening, like what the hell, man? Ozzie has talked about it for years that they didn't have real leaders. You know, they had stalwarts, they had veteran stalwarts like Abreu, but not anybody who got in people's faces and held them accountable. And then they hired a manager who was sleepwalking through, trying to like get one last, you know, pleasurable bite at the apple.
Speaking of Ozzie, here's what Ozzie told Mully and Haw on what Luis Robert needs.
Well, you know why? He got to have a tough love, because everything he had before in the past, he's like, hey, honey, you okay? How you feel today? And I think if that don't work, you got to do something different. You got to something, you know, I mean, something, it's like you have a son. you have the son living in your house. Just listen, bro. That's where we're going to do stuff. And you're nice with him. And you, if your son don't respond the way you think, hey, it's time to put, hey, no, say, no way. Weep it out. Say, no, nope, that's the way we're going to do it in my house. If you don't want to do it, you know what to do. In my house, we're going to do stuff this way. No babysit them. You give them the opportunity, they take advantage of the opportunity, or they don't. Then you got to treat people the way it should be treated.
You know what Ozzy's advocating there.
Sounds like he's on Team Belt.
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it.
Like, would Ozzy do that to one of his ball players? You're just talking just from a parenting perspective.
At least the chancla, right? At least that.
Hey.
Oh, the chancla in the purse. And then the purse has like magical curving abilities as it's thrown. Yes. Yes.
And we know that Luis wouldn't catch it.
He might be in position to catch it, but then he'd let it fall and put his face into the wall and just bemoan his misery.
Yeah, well, I got the freeze frame up here of last night's, you know, walk off, and it's just.
Could he have caught it?
So I think it's possible that he could have misjudged it. I think that's on the table, but also it looks like during the process he kind of like half-assed it, you know. So it's tough to tell which one it is. But either
that's
way,
why it's I not got 100%, upset.
It's not 100% effort, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
much. And it's really a stark contrast. You guys remember him his rookie year in that ballpark where he's hitting these moonshot home runs, and our guy Hud is just like, wow, look at this guy, man. And then those
good
crazy,
Hud.
Yeah, he just do it all the time. And then like, when he'd have those amazing plays out there in center field, when he played like with this reckless abandon, and he was just electric out there.
He was alley to alley, yes, making plays.
And it looks like someone just came to him and just zapped all that magic away from him. And I know the White Sox will do that to you, but
I remember the alley to alley plays, of course, Lawrence, and like perfect routes with maximum speed and making incredible catches. But I also remember, even at the peak of what seemed like his very best ball, him having really sloppy mechanics out there as an outfielder, like on a sack fly, not getting under and behind the ball to make the catch and pivot into throwing position.
Yeah, he would hit the mound a lot on some of those throws, and it's a hard throw from center field, but you're right, he wasn't set up underneath the ball.
It's not set up underneath like an outfielder needs to be. And overthrowing cutoff man, like the stuff that they allowed because he was so talented, eventually, like, it comes back, man. It circles back around. And they haven't had a manager. They had one who talked tough about it in Pedro, but he didn't do a damn thing. And I'm sure that Will wants to do stuff, and maybe he is, but it's a weird moment with Luis because, like I said, a lot of damage has already been done. That guy is what he is on some level, and you want him to play well. And you need him to feel good so he plays well so you can get him the hell out of town.
Texter, great text, and we should have mentioned this. Maybe the guy leaves third base early. Yes,
sure.
you have to give yourself and your teammates every opportunity to stay in the game. And I get it. Like, this is part of the reason why I wanted him traded during spring training, is because when you look at a team that's got a win percentage of 28%, it clearly has an effect on people. You know, Speaks, that you're really good about thinking about the game from a human perspective and not just looking at the numbers. It's clear that it's weighing on a bunch of these guys over the last few years how things have gone. You have a White Sox team that might end up losing, what, 330 games in three seasons?
Oh, man.
And
imagine being there for all of that.
Right.
And,
so you get it. Like, we get it. We understand what you're going through. But still, when you see a moment like that, and I found myself going, there you go again, Lawrence. You're being too hard on the White Sox. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Oh,
like,
man,
catch the ball.
They were back to being the laughing stock of the league last night.
Luckily, the Cubs bailed them out.
But, man, I just imagine all those losses. Imagine the toll it's going to take on Chase Meidroth. Imagine how he's going to look fielding pop-ups in two years.
Well, it's something to consider. Like, that's your all-star. That's who these guys are looking at. as a big leaguer.
No,
and
you're
at
right.
some point, like, I think I may have like changed my mind about whether or not to hang on to him. Like, I don't know if I want him around for having these guys like Caro looking at him like, oh, that's how they go about their business, and it's like, you know, it goes unchecked every day. I'm not sure I like that.
No, he really has no utility on this roster philosophically. None.
And we do know that Cincinnati needs an outfielder. So,
as might the Rangers.
Yep. We need to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about middle names. Next on The Score.
Yeah. Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
Yeah, I hope he's better tonight or today. It's today. Robbie Ray, yeah, today. Ben Brown.
It's relatively soon, right?
We're practically the pregame show.
We're almost 12:45.
Yeah. We're going to talk to Zach at 9 o'clock.
I'm saying, that's pretty early.
Cubs, Giants, Pat, Ron, next. That's Zach. That's my best Zach.
That's good.
On The Score, right?
Doesn't on The Score. Oh, yeah, on The Score. He does.
It's time for baseball. Cubs, Giants, Pat, Ron, next on The Score.
And the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
I love that David nailed the Zach.
It's pretty good.
I mean, is that our first Zach?
I also think Zach may have reverse engineered that for them.
It could be.
Because Zach's a good radio person like that. Speaking of Mully and Haw, be listening tomorrow morning during Mully and Haw for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Cubs versus Marlins. Right, Spiegs?
No,
at Wrigley
true.
Field next Tuesday night, May 13th. Spiegs might be there. It's powered by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch.
I will be there. Got to go see the nephew up in the booth, man. Go see that kid work.
Matty Marlin is going to be there with his visor. He's going to be ready to go. He's going to be ready to go. On the broadcast today, I had a treat of a time listening to the boys, and they got into the topic of middle names.
I would never on the scoreboard have put, you know, Ron Brian Coomer. Would you put your full name on there?
Virgil Patrick Hughes. Are you kidding? Is that an answer for you?
It's good for me.
One away. Here's Chapman now taking high for a ball.
That comment reminds me of my dad. My dad went as Ron Coomer. And I, you know, same obviously. But his first name on his birth certificate was Herbert. And if you wanted to get under his skin really bad, you could call him Herbert or Herbie. And
he didn't like that?
No. He'd let you know it, too. And I did that once.
Mistake?
Yeah.
Once.
Uh-huh.
As you say that, my dad's full name was Virgil Herbert Hughes.
Oh. He had to double bubble, huh?
And he had some issues, too.
Don't we all? It's all right.
Now the 1-2 to Chapman, swing and a foul off to the right out of play.
That's why we get along so well, mm-hmm. Patrick.
I think everyone has issues,
yeah,
Ron.
Yeah, no doubt.
1-2 pitch, down low for a ball, 2-2. Except that guy in the song by The Who, Mr. Normal.
Yeah.
He's the only guy that would have no issues.
Never met him.
Good old Mr. Normal. You haven't met him?
No, I haven't met him.
Pat, with a reference to We're Not Gonna Take It by The Who. Hey, old hung up Mr. Normal, don't try to gain my trust. That is such good stuff,
I
man.
Love this version of Pat.
Oh, man.
I love it.
And their relationship is so special and so awesome. When Coom says, I think that's why we get along, Patrick. I mean, Coom has talked about his dad. His dad was a hard man. Coom's dad was a very strong and difficult man. So when Pat says, well, yeah, my dad too. He had his issues. Like, there's some real genuine bonding going on.
Well,
there.
You would think, and if you talk to a lot of men Virgil's age, they will tell you that their dads were... Virgil Tanny?
That's a wrap.
They will tell you that their dads were hard men. Mm-hmm. Tell you something about old Q Holmes, man.
He's, oh, yeah. Well,
hard man.
My dad, not so much of a hard man, but he's a Herbert. So there's
that's right.
So yeah, we got a big pile of Herberts over there.
I ain't trying to tip.
Saturday, me and you's day.
Me and you's day.
Is that Virgil?
No, that's Herbie.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. That's right. There's, yeah, we'll see. Maybe an even bigger pile of Herbs. You never know.
It's important. Great job by everyone involved. Alex, Tanny, great job on today's show. For my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support that you show the show. Full show tomorrow with a lot of great guests. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow at 2 o'clock on The Score. Grody is next!
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.